We shall now turn to the chapter which we read, Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 23. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, and our text for this morning is verse 11. Matthew 23, verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. This morning we hope to ordain two deacons. Two men have been honored in this way, in that they have been elected by their fellow church members. They are to be given office in the Church of God. But it's important to remember the meaning of the word deacon. Deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos. And the meaning of the word diakonos is servant. It's important to remember that. As Jesus says here, he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. We are called to service. Human nature is naturally proud. All of us are tempted to be proud. I'm the greatest. I'm the best. I'm the wisest. I'm the strongest. I'm the most beautiful. These thoughts are in the heart of each one of us, always thinking about how special we are, how unique we are, how we're higher than others in some way or other. And we've got to remember that Jesus says we're to be servants. We're all called to be servants. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Every one of us has to strive to be humble. Pride is obnoxious to God. He hates it. And he loves humility. So we are to strive to be humble, to honor others, to look up to others, to respect them, but especially to give all glory to God, to give special place to him. Well, first of all then, in looking at this verse today, I want us to think of who the greatest one is. Who is the greatest in the church? Obviously, Jesus. He's king and head of the church. Verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. So Christ is the greatest. He's the master. And yet, he takes the place of servant. Think of Philippians chapter 2. Who being in the form of God, Christ being in the form of God, having all the essential characteristics of God, being the mirror image of God, being God in all his essence, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, not something to be grasped at, nor something to be clinged to, as it were. It wasn't robbery for Christ to claim that he was equal to God, and yet he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And the Greek word that's used there for servant is the word doulos, which actually means slave. Jesus, the greatest, the second person of the Holy Trinity, equal in power and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, took human nature and became a servant and was obedient unto death, even the cursed death of the cross. Jesus, the master, becomes the servant. Remember John 13. Jesus and his disciples at the Last Supper. They have come in from a day spent in Jerusalem. The dusty roads, their feet are dusty. The first thing normally that was done before people would sit down for a meal was that the lowest servant in the house would come round and wash the feet of the others. Now there was Jesus and his 12 disciples. Who would take the lowest place? Not one of them. Not one of the disciples. And eventually they start the supper and their feet are still dirty. And it seems so terrible, so outrageous. And each one is thinking, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. You're not as clever as me. You're not as well educated as me. You're not such a good person as I am. You're not such a gifted person as me. I'm not going to take the lowest place. And then you remember what Jesus did. He took a basin and water and a towel. And he started washing the disciples' feet. And he came to Peter. Peter was so ashamed. Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus said to him, if I wash not your feet, you have no part with me. If I then, your Lord and Master, you call me Lord and Master, and that's what I am. But if I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, surely then ye ought to wash one another's feet. You ought yourselves to take the lowest place and be prepared to do the most menial of tasks. Jesus, the greatest one, but he takes the place of the lowest servant, of the slave in the household. He washes the feet of the others. What a challenge to the disciples, and what a challenge to you and me. We too are to take the lowest place. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus says that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Why did I come from heaven? I didn't come from heaven in order to have people running around serving me. No, I came in fact to be a minister, a servant, and to give my life a ransom for many. You and I, captives, slaves, how can we be set free? The only way we could be set free is by Jesus giving his life a ransom for us. We are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Slaves to the devil, we're set free by Jesus giving his life for us. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for our salvation, for our deliverance, for our freedom and liberty. Who is he? He's the Lord of heaven. And yet he takes human nature. He was made a little lower than the angels. The angels are higher than us. Jesus took a position, took not on him the nature of angels, but took upon him the seed of Abraham, lower than the angels. And when he came into this world, he wasn't born in Caesar's palace, or in Herod's palace, or in the house of some wealthy person. But he was born in a stable. There was no room for him in the inn. And his cot was a manger. And he grew up in relative poverty. He learned the trade of a carpenter and worked with Joseph. And then eventually he became a teacher, preacher. And then he went to the cross. The Lord of glory, What did people do to him? Despised, rejected of men, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, a crown of thorns put on his head, beaten, nailed to a cross, and laughed at as he died. He humbled himself by becoming a man, becoming a servant, becoming a sin bearer. He bore our sins and he took our place and he died on the cross for us. He humbled himself to death, to the cursed death of the cross, to hell, to the grave. Jesus in our place. What an example he is to us, the greatest one. What an inspiration, what a challenge to you and me. In following Christ, we are to be humble. And remember that Christ now is highly exalted, King of kings and Lord of lords, on the throne of the universe. And if we humble ourselves, we too will, in due course, be exalted. So we see there then the greatest one, Jesus. Secondly, it's natural for us to seek the highest place for ourselves. That's the way of the world. Wherever you look, people are striving to get on, struggling to climb up the greasy pole, wanting to get on at work, to get a higher position, to earn more money, to do well, to be highly thought of. It's amazing what people will do to get celebrity status. You'll see them on television doing the most awful of things just in order to be noticed, recognized. The pride of the human heart. I'm special. Look at me. See what I do. See what I will do. And everybody striving to get on, pushing for more money, more prestige, more honor, more glory, more advancement. People love to be flattered, don't they? And then if you criticize people, how ready they are to hate you. People take it badly if you don't speak nicely about them. They love flattery, they hate criticism. Now that's in the world around us. But sadly it also comes into the church. We see here the church that was around in the time of Jesus. And the church at that time was dominated by scribes and Pharisees. And we're told a great deal about the scribes and Pharisees in this chapter. And it's not a very nice picture that Jesus presents about the leaders of the church at that time. But perhaps it could also be used to describe the leaders of the church today. Verse 3. Whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. But don't you do what they do. Because what do? They tell you, do this, do this, do this. And they don't do it themselves. Verse 4. They bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and they don't touch it with their own finger. Laying heavy burdens on other people. Telling people how they should live, and they themselves not living in that way. Verse 5. They do their works to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Phylacteries, little box with the law written upon it that they would carry on their foreheads some of these men pretending that they loved God's law so much and that the law of God was so special to them. They carried it on their foreheads. In fact, they made broad their phylacteries. They enlarged the borders of their garments. They wanted to look holy and special. They loved the uppermost rooms at feasts. They wanted to be in the top places, the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and people to say to them, "Rabbi, Rabbi," in great respect as they walked along to be treated with respect. "But be not ye called Rabbi, Master, for one is your Master, even Christ." Don't you be called Rabbi. Don't you be called Master. "And call no man," verse 9, "your Father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." We think of one church where the ministers are called Father. Just recently, we were doing some door-to-door work and came across a young Polish man. Like so many from Poland, he was Roman Catholic. But he said, "I've rejected the church." "Oh, why have you rejected the church?" "Well, I thought I would have a look at the Bible, the source book of the church. And I started reading the Bible and I came across this verse that says, 'Call no man your father upon the earth.' And all these priests there saying, 'Call me Father.' And I thought, this is terrible. The very Bible itself tells them that what they're doing is wrong." Just recently, I received several text messages from a woman, and she was addressing me, started addressing me as Father. And I felt a bit embarrassed. I don't like correcting people, but yet I just couldn't let it go on. And so I had to tell her, "No, please don't call me Father. Jesus says, 'Call no man Father on earth. Your Father is in heaven. God is your Father.' We are all equal. And we are all to be regarded as equal. In fact, the way to greatness is by humility, by service. Call no man Father on earth. One is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." So you see, there's even in the church this tendency for people to seek greatness for themselves. Greetings in the markets and chief seats in the synagogues and all the rest of it. But that's not the way it's to be in the Church of Christ. The world around us is striving for greatness. Each person striving to be great. But you and I, we should strive for the lowest place. If you go right back to the very beginning of human history, and you think of our first parents, Adam and Eve, created by God and placed in the paradise of the Garden of Eden. And you remember how Satan came along in the form of a serpent and said to our first mother, to Eve, "Look at this fruit. If you eat this fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And Eve looked at the fruit, to be desired to make one wise. What was Satan's temptation? "Take this fruit and you'll be like God." Notice the pride coming in there, right at the very beginning of human history. You'll be like God. People like to think of themselves as being like God, great, and others to treat them as if they were God, the greatest, the best. the wisest, the most sensible, the most humble. Pride is loathsome to God, and pride comes before a fall. Beware of pride. But then, thirdly, notice the greatest Christian. Verse 11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. The one who serves is the greatest. In some churches, they have bishops, and they're called my Lord Bishop, and they live in a palace, Lambeth Palace, and so on. But that's not the way it's to be in the Church of Christ. We're not to be called Lord this or Lord that, or to be bishops in that sense. The name minister is a very good name because it basically means servant. The minister is the servant. He's not the master. He's not the Lord. He's not the boss. He's the servant. You've one boss, and that is Christ. Minister means servant. And the way to greatness in God's eyes is through service and through humility. That's the way it should be in the church. Peter, addressing elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, says, not being lords over God's heritage, but rather examples to the flock. Don't be lords. Don't lord it over others. That's what's said to office bearers in the church. You're not to lord it over others. You're a servant. Remember your position as servant. Deacon means servant. And every one of us should be asking for ways in which we can serve, not in ways by which we can be the master or we can rule over others, as it were. We should all be seeking ways of service and ways of doing good. Remember the judgment day as it's portrayed for us later on in Matthew's Gospel. And Jesus speaks about dividing all mankind. The sheep from the goats, Matthew 25. And he will say to the sheep, those on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the place prepared for you from before the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. I was naked, and you clothed me. And they will say, what did we do for you? We never did anything for you. And he shall say, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. And then he will turn to those on the left hand and say, depart from me, ye cursed. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was sick and you didn't visit me. I was in prison and you didn't come to me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And they will reply and they'll say, when did we see you? Sick and didn't visit you. Or in prison and didn't come to you. Or naked and didn't clothe you. Or hungry and didn't feed you. In that you did it not unto one of these the least of mine. You did it not unto me. Depart from me. So you see how our faith is to express itself in our life. And we are to show that our faith is real by our acts of kindness and service to others. When we do whatever we might do for others, we're not to think, I'm good, I've done this. But rather we're to think, thank you, Lord, for helping me to find some little way in which I can serve your church. Think of John the Baptist. He was a great prophet. Jesus said of him, amongst those born of women hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and to unloose the sandal of Jesus Christ. He must increase and I must decrease. Humility. See ourselves as small, not worthy. Less, Paul said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. The great apostle Paul, I'm less than the least of all the saints. That's the way we should be too. Verse 12 says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, brought down. But he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Remember Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, the great emperor of Babylon. Very gifted individual, a mighty emperor. See this great Babylon which I have built, he said to himself. And he was warned through a dream which Daniel interpreted for him, that he must humble himself before God. But he didn't take the warning, and he continued to proudly think of himself and his own achievements with disastrous consequences. Remember what happened? Madness came over him, and he was turned out of his palace, and he lived in the fields with the animals, eating grass like an ox, until he learned that the Most High reigneth in the kingdom of men. Humility. Peter said to Jesus, I'll never forsake you. The rest here, they might forsake you, but I won't. I'll stick by you whatever happens. Jesus, I'll die with you. He was so proud of himself. And then you know what happened. He denied his Lord 3 times with oaths and curses. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Jesus prayed for him. He sinned, he fell, but he was restored. His faith did not fail. Christ interceded for him. How much we need that intercession, because we're all sinners and it's so easy for us to sin. We're all tempted by pride, and pride is something that we'll have to fight against all our days. But we have a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And when we sin, and we all do, how important it is for us to repent, to ask for forgiveness, to seek the cleansing of the blood of Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have nothing to boast of. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. True love, true Christian love, is not proud. It's not puffed up. It's not vaunting itself. No, it's meek and it's lowly, and it's like Christ. We're appointing deacons today, but it's important to remember deacon means servant. And it's important for each one of us to remember we're called to be servants one of another. Called to crucify pride and to be humble. And by God's grace, we can be humble.